This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Jerry Lane Chevrolet and First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Robin Dow is our producer, and your number is 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org for emails. Joining us in studio for a few minutes is Ashley Rankins. She is president of the Baton Rouge Youth Movement. And after Ashley, we'll hear from Chez Ciccone. He was the employer of one Allison Rice, who was killed 6 nights ago on Government Street at a train crossing downtown near North Boulevard. And her life was taken at 21 years old, slated to graduate from LSU in May, and she is gone by virtue of a crime that is unsolved and appears to be either a failed carjacking or just an act of violence against a young person without provocation. And it is a terrible tragedy for our community and for the community at large. And the governor on his radio show yesterday talked about the loss of humanity, the lack of respect for life, and this is evidence of that. But Ashley Rankins is involved in something involving young people that is good. It is called the Baton Rouge Youth Movement, of which she is the president. In 47 days from now, the November 8th primary will be conducted, and Ashley is trying to stimulate young people into going to the polls and voting. And first, you got to register. And unfortunately, indicators are that people of her age don't vote as religiously as people of older ages. In fact, most indicators are that the older we are, the more likely we are to vote. And of course, people are dying off, and are they being replaced by young people? Certainly care about the world, but they are so apparently so disenchanted with the political process that they've lost faith and are not yet energized enough to go out and register to vote. Now, Ashley, how's it going out there?
Well, it's actually going pretty good. We've been able to mobilize a lot of young people to go vote. We are getting a lot of people excited. We've gone to the universities, the youth chapters of the NAACP. They're on board. They're ready. They're eager. And they're just excited about what's to come. I think the issue has been informing the youth instead of just engaging them. I think when you inform them and you engage them, you get a much better outcome.
When you say inform, what does that mean?
When you inform them, you explain to them what's on the ballot, why they should vote, where they should vote, and not necessarily how they should vote, but just give them a reason to go and vote. Not necessarily saying, hey, I'm on the ballot, go vote for me, but say, hey, it's your birthright to go and vote.
And I presume this is done from a nonpartisan perspective.
Correct.
So you want people of your age to vote, and the first thing you got to do is register. And then, as we know, some people register, but then they don't bother to show. And elections like the one in November, we may have a case, unfortunately, in a major election involving all the congressional districts, involving a U.S. Senate seat, fewer than 50% of the people may vote. Why do you think that's the case?
I think that's the case because simply people are not energized and ready to go and vote. They don't have a reason to go vote. They're just, you know, they're thinking that their vote does not matter. But as we've seen in the last election, that the judicial race was won by 2 votes. So your vote matters.
Well, and when a race is won by 2 votes, that's really 1 vote. Because if 1 vote goes the other way, then the other person wins by 2. So that was Brad Myers defeating Jordan Faircloth. We had a tax vote for schools in West Baton Rouge that was 1 vote. Mm-hmm. So sometimes your vote really does count in a tangible way, but obviously your vote counts no matter what, because if nobody voted, we wouldn't have an election. But we did get massive turnout in the 2020 presidential election. Big turnout. That's over 2/3 of the American people who were registered to vote, cast ballots. And as much as people complain about President Trump, but he and Joe Biden got out the vote. Biden got about 82 million votes. Trump got 75 million. Big turnout. It seems that sometimes personality engages people rather than issues. Why do you think that's the case?
I think because when you show yourself favorable, the people want to support you.
Sometimes unfavorable, too. Sometimes people go to vote against someone.
Yeah,
that was the case of David Duke. You're too young to remember him, but but yeah, that was a huge turnout, and that was largely because people were voting against Mr. Duke. Of course, also a lot of people voted for him, about 671,009 voters, just to be exact. But nonetheless, finish what you were going to say. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no. So I just think that when people present themselves as knowledgeable, as experienced, as favorable, as a person of the community will get behind them and support them no matter what party they are.
Well, for those who would like more information about Baton Rouge Youth Movement, how do they find out more, Ashley?
They can give us a call at 225-407-0850.
You want to say that again?
The number is 225-407-0850.
Thank you, and good luck to you. It's important.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jim.
And we're joined in studio now by Chaz Ciccone, who just finished an early morning workout, probably the fittest restaurant owner in Baton Rouge. Turns 58 this week and has the body of a 28-year-old. And he owns a barbecue place. So for those who refrain from eating meat, I suspect, Chaz, you eat some meat.
I do eat some meat, but we also have some vegetables on the menu.
But on a more serious note, you had a beautiful employee, and Chaz just opened his location, what?
We're 100 days in.
100 days
in. Right at 100 days.
Your first hire, one of the first was...
She was actually there from day one.
Allison Rice.
Yes.
Who died 6 nights ago.
Murdered.
Senselessly. I don't know if their murderers ever make sense, but sometimes people know each other. It appears she didn't know these people. They didn't know her. They just killed her.
She was stopped at the railroad crossing eating French fries, and her car was riddled with 10 or 11 bullets.
2:19 in the morning. She had gone out to visit a friend, right, at a local spot downtown.
Correct. Her friend had gotten a job as a bartender at some restaurant down there, some nightclub down there, and she went to comfort her, just keep her safe. Her friend went one way on Government Street when the restaurant, the establishment closed, and she went another. And got caught at that railroad crossing, waited there for a little while. According to the witnesses, if you will, they heard the gunshots, and she just sat there and was a sitting duck, if you will.
Do you know her parents?
Very well. Her father's a minority investor with the company. She has two brothers that also work at the restaurant. We had to go in at 4:45, rather. Friday morning, her brother, younger brother, was working in the pit. We cooked 24/7 starting on Thursday, smoked our meats, and had to tell him to go home. Couldn't tell him why, just told him he needed to go home at 4:45 in the morning. He asked if he was being fired, and, you know, it was like, you know, we wish it was that, but it's not.
And I'm sure you've talked to him since.
Yes, saw him yesterday at the burial, at the funeral services.
That was a riveting experience, I'm sure.
It was quite sad. I mean, you know, she was a lovely young lady with an infectious smile, quite creative. She was going to graduate this year from LSU as a senior. Mm-hmm. She had her entire life ahead of her. Always smiled, always was creative. You know, just a very lovely soul.
It is inexplicable that something like this could happen. And as I stated, for absolutely no reason. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. But I don't think the parents ever get over that.
No.
But are they holding on?
As best they could. I mean, they have a large support system. They're big family. There's an extended family. There's the family at the shed as well. We've invited them up to you know, mm-hmm. sit around, hang out, laugh, cry, hug, whatever is needed. We're there for you. You know, the funeral service, there were well over 400 or 500 people there yesterday. The founders of the shed, original location in Ocean Springs, also came in to show their support and love. It's just been a difficult week.
To say the least, and to think a week ago, this wasn't on the radar. In fact, at 2:15 in the morning on the night it happened.
Correct.
It wasn't on the radar. But then... According to reports, at least two, maybe three people approached the car and shot multiple times.
It was not a carjacking. Nothing was stolen. It was more than likely some type of gang initiation or just...
We hopefully will find out. And I know people are in fear of their own personal safety, and perhaps for good reason. But in something like this, sometimes you got to do the right thing. If you know something, and there is a reward.
Yeah, the Shed on Tuesday put up a $10,000 reward. Since that time, those that want to remain or wish to remain anonymous, our reward at this point is at $37,500 for an arrest and indictment. We anticipate that number getting to about 50,000 by tomorrow. In addition to that, we are...
Hold tight. We're going to return with Chaz Jaconi, owner of the Shed Barbecue, where Allison Rice was employed, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, another segment with Chaz Jaconi. He's owner of the Shed Barbecue, located near LSU, right?
The co-owner, yes.
Yes, and he had a great employee, and this lady looked like she came out of Central Casting, a good-looking young person, kind of like Wade Sims, the LSU basketball player who was Hollywood handsome, who was killed in a shooting in North Baton Rouge, and that was a fight. And sometimes, as we know, things like that get out of control. It doesn't warrant pulling out a gun and shooting somebody. But in Allison's case, as Chaz stated, at 2:19 in the morning, Government Street, right around North Boulevard, she's eating French fries. And at least two people approach her, apparently with high-powered weapons. And they open fire, and they killed her. And she is gone, and now the community and the family and her extended family, which certainly includes Chaz, are trying to put the pieces together. And I don't know that you ever really can. You don't get over it. You might get past it, but you don't get over it. And every now and then, yeah, I'm sure people, her mother and father, will be back to right where they were when they found out. And father got a knock at the door early in the morning, didn't he?
Yeah, 4:45 a.m. Dogs are barking, and, you know, 4:45 knock is never a good thing.
And I must say, you talk about the people who had to tell him.
Yeah, the police officers did tell him, and it was it was rough. You know, you're being told that your 21-year-old daughter has just been murdered. There's no answers. There's no reason. And she was a good person. I mean, she wasn't involved with anything illicit. She wasn't doing anything illegal. She had a wonderful past and a beautiful future.
I would imagine these people will be caught. I don't know, but I would imagine they will. And it is important that there is a reward, and Chaz is largely responsible for that, and commend you for doing it. But why something like this occurs is beyond comprehension. It just makes no sense at all. What is to be gained by that? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And I can feel the anger with you. It's palpable.
Well, you know, there's a lack of leadership in this town. There seems to be a propensity to allow criminals to roam freely. The mayor has not done much. I mean, since she's been in office, there's been 725 murders. 725 murders since 2017 in Baton Rouge. That doesn't count the crimes. That doesn't count the carjackings. That doesn't count the assaults. That doesn't count the robberies. She brought in a puppet as a police chief.
Well, now we're getting off in territory that I didn't intend to do.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, a politician can only do so much.
She can do more.
Well, we could all do more, and obviously, I don't know what could have been done about this. This goes to a culture and lack of humanity, and the mayor had nothing to do, I'm sure, with the people who did it.
No, she did it, and I didn't mean to say come off like that. However, with respect to the situation going on in Baton Rouge, she could have offered a $100,000 reward for the capture and arrest of these individuals or individual. You know, she gave $4.5 million to the Alton Sterling family.
And well, I don't think
He was a criminal.
The Metro Council did.
Well,
he was
yeah,
a criminal,
she approved
but he obviously was murdered by a police officer. And
he pulled a gun first.
He did not pull a gun.
He
did not pull a gun on the police officer.
He
did not pull a gun on the police officer.
He was a felon with a gun.
Now, you're dead wrong. Well,
he was a felon with a gun.
There was no reason for him to be killed that night,
Jeff. There was no reason for a gun either.
But we're going off on a tangent.
We need not to, but again, this administration, this mayor.
And she was not the mayor then. She was not the mayor when Alton Sterling was killed by a police officer who should not have killed him. One officer acted appropriately. The other did not.
We weren't there. We don't know the full situation.
Well, I saw it. I mean, it's on video. And I would suspect with all the cameras that these assailants are on camera somewhere. It was in a lot of businesses. I would hope that that will enable them to be caught. But, and I would think that when all comes out, Chez, it may very well have been an attempted carjacking. I would suspect they came up on her. I'm just guessing, and speculation, of course, is dangerous. But they probably wanted the vehicle, and she did what I would probably do. She tried to get away from them, and in a case like that, what do you do? You have to make a decision, and she made the wrong one if that's what happened. Or she may have just been a sitting duck. It may have been a gang thing where let's go out and kill somebody, but we don't know yet.
We don't know all the answers. Based on the witness, two gentlemen walked by his car, and his interpretation is because he had a passenger, that's why they went by him, and they proceeded to cut through the train. You know, if it was an attempted carjacking, you would think they would have stolen something. They didn't.
But they also had to get away. They just killed somebody. Okay. And plus, also, I think she wrecked the car, obviously. She was dead, and the car just...
Kept rolling,
yeah. And I can only imagine the pain that Paul Rice felt.
Oh, the entire family.
You're the father of a daughter
mm-hmm.
who's accomplished and not much older than Allie, I'm sure you put yourself in his position.
Yeah, it's something a parent should not do. A parent should not have to bury a child, especially a senseless murder like this.
So, is there a way to unite the forces? There's a lot of anger here, and for good reason. I don't blame you a damn bit for being mad about this, but is there a way where people can work together to try to prevent this from happening again?
I would hope so. You know, like I said, we've raised money for a reward. On the 13th of October, we're having a fundraiser as well, a special dinner at the Shed in honor of mm-hmm. Allie's life. It's $100 a ticket. We're not going to be serving barbecue. Mm-hmm. We'll have a steak dinner. We're only going to have $100 per ticket with 150 tickets available. Setting up an account at Citizens Bank and Trust for anyone that wants to make a donation. That account should be set up by noon today.
Well, God bless you. That's great. And you make a point. Politicians do have access to resources. I remember when Betty Smothers, the police officer,
yes.
mother of Warrick Dunn, was killed. The governor, Edwin Edwards, put up a $100,000 reward.
Correct.
I suspect with state money, but I don't think anybody complained about it. That was a police officer, but the life of Allie Rice is every bit as valuable as the life of Betty Smothers.
Amen.
And in her case, she didn't go out looking for trouble. She didn't provoke this, and it could have been anybody in this community. Could have been you, could have been me, could have been your daughter. It could have been anybody. It just happened to be Allie Rice, and you knew her. And she was an exceptional person.
She was, without a doubt.
What do you remember most about her?
Her smile was infectious. She was quite a creative young lady. She was able to. we had a retirement party the other day for a dear friend, and she developed a drink based upon his boat and his love of fishing and rap music, and it actually came out perfectly. She was excited to move on from bartending. My wife, who runs the catering department, actually hired her as her assistant. which would have given her, she was graduating with a marketing degree, which would have given her some hands-on real life experience in marketing. And it was just, you know, she, again, she had her entire future ahead of her. That's what I remember about her. I remember her making everyone just feel comfortable and just smiling when seeing her.
Well, you're 58. I'm 64. Well, as much as we may work out, we're closer to the end than the beginning.
True, true.
She was maybe one-fifth of the way to the finish line. And that's why it's even more tragic for a young person.
Correct.
Well, Chaz, you're a good man, and congratulations on your establishment. And
thank you, Jim.
And thank you for
having me.
Reward.
Thank you.
And let's keep in touch. And,
yes, sir.
And I understand your anger, and we do have to have answers. And I'm sure the mayor may very well be listening, and she will take to heart your comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard joining us from Washington today after this quick timeout. Sir, thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757, our number, talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. Robin Dow is producing. Mark Ballard joining us from Washington, D.C., a town he will soon call home. He's logged many years here in Baton Rouge with his beautiful bride, Donna Britt, who lost her life a year ago in January. Now Mark is moving to the East Coast to be near his children and to report from the Capitol and the Advocate, as the newspaper of record in Louisiana, should have a presence at the nation's capital, and they will have their ace, Mark Ballard, there, and he will, if things go according to plan, continue to join us on Thursdays. And good morning to you, Mark.
Morning. Morning. How are you today?
Doing well, and I did want to mention the topic we just discussed regarding the death of Allison Rice last week, six nights ago on Government Street. Mark, you and I live less than a mile, probably a half mile from where that happened, and you have a daughter. I don't have children, but you can only imagine the pain that is involved in something like this.
Absolutely. I mean, life takes us in strange ways, and it often becomes a surprise. And I think the surprise is hurtful all by itself, I guess.
It is unbelievable that something like this could occur in a civilized society, but here we are. And I remember not so long ago we talked about the dividing line between violent crime and the safe zone in Baton Rouge being Florida Boulevard. Well, this was on Government Street. That line has been blurred in recent years.
It has, but there's always been, there's always been a blurry crossover at that point. I mean, because Government Street, if you remember, there was a death a few years ago in front of Tabby's Blues Box on North Boulevard. I mean, there's always been a kind of a blurring of the line, and there is no safe place. I mean, I think that's where we need to think about.
That is true. If you can truly be wrong place, wrong time, and Allison Rice was in the wrong place at the wrong time. She is gone, and her loved ones are trying to regroup. But, Mark, something that people take far more personally than the crime in Baton Rouge, unfortunately, I think we have our priorities out of whack, but it is nice that we can get enthused about something that's largely positive. That's LSU football and basketball, and today apparently the NCAA will determine what the sanctions are against the Tigers for ills that were done before the current regimes. But I'm sure people will be waiting to find out what happens and wondering if the major sports at LSU will be affected adversely. So I would imagine today may be one of those days in which what happens on the sports page ends up on page one of the Advocate tomorrow.
Yeah, I would guess that that's true. And I think that we need to prepare ourselves for not being able to write this off to this is what used to happen, because they look at it as the NCAA is going to look at it as an administration, as an institution. And while there's been changes at that institution, that doesn't change the fact that there has been an institutional issue. And I think we'll get penalized for it.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. As Chaz Ciccone was on a few moments ago, I did get several emails, and one from Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, former lawmaker. He says, until we crack down on crime, until we impose serious consequences, including the death penalty, we shall continue to be overrun. Will there, based on this spike in crime in Louisiana, after all, we're not new to it. We've led the nation, unfortunately, in per capita murders for 32 consecutive years, our great state has. Will there be a renewed discussion locally, nationally, about the death penalty?
There probably will be, because politics is what politics is. But, you know, the argument that is hard to get beyond is the fact that we've had the death penalty for, you know, several hundred years, and it hasn't really worked. If your goal is to decrease crime,
but we haven't executed anybody in a little while, so some would say, you know, let's clear out death row right now. But the appeals process is such, and now we have trouble with the chemicals. There's, you know, we're doing it chemically, and the last thing you want is to try to kill somebody and then have to revive them, which is happened, by the way. I don't know why they're not using fentanyl. It obviously is a lethal killer that does it pretty quickly. It would seem that would be an efficient way to put death row inmates put them on the other side.
Well, you have to look at the statute, you know, and the statute broke. This could all be changed, and I just don't think that our legislature's people are ready to make that kind of change. This could all be changed by changing the law and saying, you know, shoot them, or, you know, put a bag over their head, or hang them. I mean, it's in the law, and they'll follow what the law says, but haven't made those choices yet. And then I guess, you know, the fact that we had a high crime rate before we ran into problems with these drugs, before Mr. Bordelon volunteered to be executed. So, I mean, it's been 20 years, but we still have had those. We have had high crime for far longer than 20 years that we have not been executing folks.
All right. 877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard, who's in the nation's capital, probably not far from the Trump Hotel, which has been sold. But Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving, and he had a very bad day yesterday. He lost the case regarding the classified records, and now, right, at least he lost a big round in the case. And of course, in New York, the attorney general says that he's been lying about his finances, as have his kids, for years, and that has been fraud as far as the business practices of the Trump organization. But here is Donald Trump last night on Fox News with his buddy Sean Hannity, commenting on how he, quote, declassified records.
Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different right. things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything.
There he is, Donald Trump, saying basically he declassified documents by looking at them and thinking about it. Mark Ballard, that's an unusual way to conduct business.
Well, and that seems to be what their argument is. However, one has to look at what the law says, and it does not say, I mean, there is an actual process for declassification. So I think that while this will probably be what the fight ends up being about, the law seems fairly clear about that as the process that has to be gone through before you can declassify documents. Mm-hmm. So
now we get emails from members of our congressional delegation opining about relatively minor things, but suspiciously, these people who have voted consistently with the former president, people like John Kennedy, they haven't sent out any emails today. at least not about that.
No, I did see Kennedy sent out an email about the Sheriff's Association backing his candidacy, which is probably no big surprise. But no, I think right now what we're seeing, particularly among mainstream Democrat Republicans, is that they're waiting and seeing. That doesn't mean that they've changed the forces or anything, that they still are supportive of the president, of President Trump, but they are just kind of taking a step back, like Mitch McConnell is, and seeing what's going to happen next.
All right. Now, as you can imagine, people are geared up about Donald Trump, but here in Baton Rouge, as we speak, much of our audience is focused on the crime issue, and I have a few emails. Here's a story from WAFB overnight. An arrest has been made in connection to a deadly shooting. A spokesman of the BRPD confirms that an arrest has been made on a shooting, person dead on West McKinley Street. Male victim shot and killed. And then on the metro section, the top story today, a man gunned down in an apartment building parking lot was a rapper with a growing following. A member of the family said this is a gentleman, 33-year-old Stanley Wright, who was shot dead 8 o'clock Tuesday at the Sherwood Place Apartments on Sherwood Common Boulevard, not far from where our studio is located. And you commented, Mark, it is all over the place now, and these are two shootings that are in, they're not in North Baton Rouge. They're in other parts of the city, which scares the bejesus out of many people in the community.
Well, and yes, and crime is rising, but not just in Baton Rouge, not just in New Orleans, but all across the country has been seeing these kind of spikes in violent crime. You know, so, yes, and it's scary. I'm surprised that it's not taking more center stage in the midterm elections than they...
I remember in 1960s, crime was law and order. That was one of Richard Nixon's big mantras in 68 when he ran for president. Now, nationally, most presidential candidates don't talk much about crime. They talk about inflation and talk about things like that, the economy, but they rarely talk about crime. But people are scared. A few people called the governor's show yesterday and indicated they were fearful living in Baton Rouge, and it's understandable. But then others would say, look, as the governor said yesterday, that in New Orleans in 1994, there were almost 500 murders, many more than there are now per capita. Even with a smaller population, that's a larger per capita. So things have actually, believe it or not, have improved since 1994. But we live in the 24-hour news cycle, and do we overplay crime, or are we getting to the bottom of something that should have been reported on long ago and far away, Mark?
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody has their own opinion. I think we do overplay crime and have for a long time.
We'll be back. More from Mark Ballard after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. He will soon be covering the lawmakers all over the country, but specifically the Louisiana delegation, as the newspaper of record has a presence with their top guy in Washington, D.C. 877-217-5757 for Mark. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Does Trump's white...
What now?
Does Trump's white-collar crime spree set a bad example for the street crime perpetrated by citizens at the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum?
All right. I don't know that there's a connection, but Mark, do you think there's a connection between, quote, white-collar crime and other crime?
Not direct, but there is a connection between, you know, white-collar crime and the cost of things for you and I and Dan downtown, is that by not paying their fair share, that prices go up and we have to pay more. So there's that connection, but I can't unless there's some cosmic connection about, you know, that not going after white-collar promotes violent crime. I can't say that I know that.
And there is a connection between crime and the economy, and there is no doubt about it. And crime went way down in the Clinton years, but it probably went down more from the fact that the economy started roaring than from the fact that the crime bill was passed. But there's a definite correlation when people are frustrated with their way of life, their means to live a life that needs to be protected from poverty and lack of education and lack of opportunity, they're more likely to commit crimes. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you all. What an asinine question did Dan ask. But anyway, Mark, how come you haven't covered Ali's murder as much as the rest of the media? That's number one.
All right. Well, I don't know that that's Mark's beat.
Yeah, I don't cover crime, and I'm also in Washington, D.C.
All right, Gustavo, do you have something else?
In that story, because it doesn't fit your narrative, you should have covered it a little bit more. People are upset. $50,000 is the reward now to anybody that provides information regarding Ali's murder.
All right. Well,
What narrative do you think I have? I told you I'm in Washington, D.C., and I cover politics.
You're the advocate guy, right?
All right, I think it is Gustavo's narrative. Gustavo cares, and that's a good thing, but the advocate certainly is covering this story. I don't think, and Mark is not the guy who writes about, he writes about as much regarding crime as he does LSU football, and he covers the wheels churning at the respective capitals. But anyway, David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Mark Ballard. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Ballard, before I get to my question regarding Donald Trump's latest scandal, I lost everything in Katrina. My home had 8 feet of water in it. I'm totally blind. I had no place of my own to live for more than a month. I came to Atlanta with the clothes on my back, and FEMA hounded me for 6 years. I had to retain two lawyers because they wanted to recoup a stinking $3,200 of rental assistance. And again, I had to retain two lawyers and go through court I've heard it on these cable channels that the U.S. attorney in New York may not pursue the case of Donald Trump's alleged $250 million of tax fraud, insurance fraud, income tax fraud, bank fraud. Now, what does that say about our justice system?
All right. What about the unequal aspect of justice?
Well, there is an unequal aspect of justice. It is a human system. There's an unequal aspect of it, but it is the way it is.
And people are frustrated in this country, and quite often people are frustrated at public officials who have very little to do with crime, for example, and inflation. There's probably much more regarding inflation related to the war in Ukraine than there is to anything Joe Biden's done, but he's the president. The buck stops there, and the stock market has responded very poorly to these rate increases from the Fed, which would be expected. Now, Donald Trump would be yelling about the Fed trying to fix the election, as he once did when they raised it a quarter point. Well, in the last 6 weeks, I think they've raised the rates 2.25 points. They've raised it 3.25 overall during Biden's term. And Mark, it appears, I'm looking at these polls, in the last week or so, Republicans have gained ground, and I think Republicans have a genuine hope now that they can not only regain the House, but they may also win some Senate seats that they had all but written off. And I noted the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has shown in its latest poll that Herschel Walker is now 2 points ahead of Raphael Warnock. So is there any way for us to look and project what may happen on November 8th?
Well, from what I've been hearing, I mean, up here among the political professionals, is that it's the Senate is still kind of up in the air, and we'll see. Now, the Republicans need net one to take control of the Senate, and so far they're looking at Georgia as the place for it. In the House, the redistricting by in states with majority Republican legislatures has made it so that it seems highly unlikely that the Republicans will not take the majority in the U.S. House. but not by the numbers that they were talking about a couple of months ago. It'll be a lot closer, because while inflation is an important thing, it seems like that was a godsend to the Republican House. The other issues, Donald Trump, abortion, immigration, those issues have taken the kind of a front stage in front of what is the economy. And so, I mean, that I think that's where we're at.
And the election is fluid enough that prevailing events in the next 6.5 weeks could determine the outcome. And there are some races that Democrats didn't think they had a shot in. But, for example, the latest USA Today poll in Florida finds Marco Rubio only 4 points ahead of Val Demings. Now, Rubio was thought to be on cruise control, but he has a race. And if something were to happen in the next 6.5 weeks that would be adverse to either party, we could have a swing where Democrats might control the Senate 55-45, or Republicans might control it 55-45 if there's some kind of a wave, Mark.
Yeah, and that's so very true. I mean, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we thought, well, Republicans are going to win this in a wave, and you see how things have changed, and they could easily change in the next 5 or 6 weeks, you know, and they will. They will, that's it.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on with Mark.
Hi, Mark. We are certainly going to miss you, sir, and I'm glad you're going to still be in contact with us. What are you looking forward to as far as being in Washington as a journalist? And thank you so much, Mr. Thank you so much, Mark. Bye.
Yeah. We have not been covering what happens in Washington. Meaning the Advocate, Times, Picayune, have not been covering what's been happening in Washington for several years. And I think that what happens up here has a huge impact on our everyday lives. And I think I want to be there to at least interpret how what is happening on a national level is going to impact us in Louisiana. And so that's what's going to be exciting about it, I think.
Now, a listener notes that Clay Higgins may have the only competitive congressional race this year. And he asks, this is Tom on Bluebonnet, asking if you have run into Congressman Higgins. Here he sleeps in his office, Mark. Have you seen Congressman Higgins?
No, but I have not been roaming the halls as much. I'm just now getting started up here. So that may be, you know, but he's apparently not very – he's not out in the public arena, is from what I've been told, as much as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the only competitive race, but I do think he's going to win it easily. So
he is a character, and in Louisiana, we've always liked characters. I mean, look at Huey Long, Earl Long, Edwin Edwards. You can go down the list. There have been a few characters along the way, but Clay Higgins fits the mold. Donald Trump fits the mold, and we had a guy here a few years ago who worked with us, Roman Starnes, who's a very conservative man, ex-LSU football player, who loved Donald Trump. And he said, Jim, he governs like a bad boy wrestler. And you know, if it were on WWE, it might be funny. But sometimes this showmanship goes a bit too far. And I would hope that some Democrat doesn't try to emulate Trump and become the Trump from the left. Because our president, has changed the discourse to the point where a fact that Joe Biden won a landslide is now viewed as suspicious by a large number of people in this country.
Well, there was a poll that I read this morning with New York Times and Siena College, and it was saying that basically the people who supported Trump, and that's about 30% of the population, support him now and supported him then, and they support those arguments.
And they will go on with him if there is another election, and there may be in 2024. We'll see and we'll follow it. Thanks, Mark Ballard. Signature support from First Financial, Tax Accounting Services, and Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Stay safe and stay tuned.